And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, it is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word.
Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Jesus's little parable of the mustard seed at the end of Mark chapter 4. Such a powerful parable for our day to understand how the kingdom of God is being built, what's happening in the world, what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing, and what we can expect until the day of his return. Thanks today for tuning into the program. Find us on Facebook. Also, the web address is agradio.org, agradio.org. We'd love to hear from you. Do please call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. If Abounding Grace Radio has been a blessing to you, do please consider financially supporting us. It helps to continue to bring these radio broadcasts to you and to many others across the U.S., Canada, and also Africa. Thanks again today for tuning in to Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Well, Jesus has been saying everywhere. Think about when the Pharisees came up to him and they looked at him and they said, "You've got to be kidding. You're not a king. You don't have a kingdom. So why don't you tell us, Jesus?" Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. When is this great kingdom you say is going to come? Remember what he said? "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, there it is, I see it.' Or 'There it is, over there.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your midst." How does the kingdom of God come? When Peter was taken by this, Peter wrote in his little first epistle, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower falls away, what? But the word of the Lord endures forever." And then he says this, "Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Now the seed is sown. And what happens? Well, he said, there's good soil on which it lands, and it springs up and it bears fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That's what's going on in the kingdom. So where do we find the kingdom of God? Here it is. It's not so hard. His rule, and we prayed for it this morning, that's why I read the Heidelberg, his rule is demonstrated, God's power is found in the heart of someone who believes this. His kingdom is shown in the heart of someone who believes this. This was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was an outward member of the kingdom. The point, Jesus came along and said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need life planted in your dead heart, or you'll just go on and do all your religious duties and you'll never, ever have life given to you. The life was shown as the gospel was preached to him and the Spirit regenerated or implanted life in that dead, black heart of his. But do you see why he's so concerned then about you listening and giving yourself to the ministry of the church? This drove our Lord. This was so important for him to give yourself to the ministry of the word. This is why he's saying, use it, use it, use it. Because the kingdom comes when that word is believed. Now, isn't that the struggle we have? What is kingdom life like? Well, I can tell you what, it's not often very glorious. I didn't realize receiving the kingdom of God would come with this much hardship. I didn't realize it would come with this much struggle. I can't make sense often of our Christian mess. I really can't. I'm being totally honest here. I can't make sense of it. We're goofy at times in society. No one seems to take us seriously. What we represent, we look so weak. And then we have all this outward opposition. Everyone seems to tolerate everything except us. Ever thought about that? And throughout history and the kingdom, there's been nothing but hatred for Christ and his Christians. Even where the seed is scattered and falls on good soil, you wonder, is anything happening? Did you hear me? Even where it's scattered and falls on good soil, you wonder, is anything happening? And if the kingdom is tied to the word and spirit, which we read earlier, look at these terrible responses. Are you serious? That's it? We just went through three of them. The parable of a matted heart, if you will, the soil of a matted heart, the soil that springs up quickly and receives it all quickly and then is gone as quickly as they came in, they bolted, and then you've got these thorns that choke out the word so that they don't even grow. There's just no interest in this whole thing. But that enthusiast scares me a little bit because he's the one that Jesus says thinks that Christianity is just the solution to all our problems, and yet because he has no root, he endures for a while and then bolts. For when tribulation or persecution arises, immediately they fall away and the plant, he says, the sun scorches. This is tough. And then you got all these thorns choking people, worry and tribulation. All of that is in his kingdom. And you think this project seems like a giant failure. I often think this project seems like a giant failure. And Jesus' purpose in these parables is to say to you, no, it's not. No, it's not. There's a good soil. And Jesus is saying, it's coming right here, the kingdom. Look at it. How so? It's at this thought that Jesus interjects another parable to explain what the kingdom is like. In verse 30, he said, to what then shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? In other words, what parable would be best to help you grasp what I'm saying to you? He's such a good teacher. I mean, this is an amazing rhetorical device. He is really good at really getting and prompting the mind to think about this. Think about what he just said. In other words, what parable would be best to help you understand my kingdom and what you're a part of? I want you to understand this. How best can I capture it for you? How can I do that for you today? How about this? It's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown in the ground, it's smaller than all seeds on the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches. Everyone there knew how small a mustard seed was. fact, Jesus has been blasted throughout history by people who think that he's making some kind of statement and was wrong here that this was the smallest seed. Jesus was using hyperbole. Jesus was not giving a science lesson. He was giving something to them to hold on to. They knew how tiny the mustard seed was. It's so tiny. You ever seen a mustard seed? It's tiny. And you put it into the earth, and it goes into the ground, and then one day it pops up, and the thing looks like a bush. And then when it's all said and done, it's like a tree. Branches are everywhere. Now, in the first parable, he explained how the kingdom comes from the start. It's small, it's not glorious. But now he describes what it's like in its fullness. In both parables, he's making the same basic point. What Jesus is emphasizing today is this. It's really slow going from your perspective. One day a farmer went out and he planted this thing. And he kept going out and he kept going out. And then one day he saw a blade. And then one day he saw the head. And then he saw the full grain. This mustard seed one day was planted and then the thing came to a full tree. And something should have stood out in the parable to them as they were thinking about this. He says, night and day. You go to bed, you get up. You go to bed, you get up. You go to bed, you get up. And what troubles you about that? The monotony of this whole thing. You go to bed, you get up, and this life just keeps keeping to go on. Nothing ever changes. Nothing ever seems to change at all. It goes on and on and on. Same routine, same routine, same routine. It never seems to stop. And then you look at farmers and you know how many problems they have. You know how many crop failures they deal with. You know the weather. You know the struggle. You know how many problems. It's incredibly up and down. And Jesus is saying that's what the kingdom of God is like. There's nothing outward you'll see. In fact, it's not radical. It's not big in your eyes right now. In fact, it seems like there's nothing going on. You ever watch grass grow? I don't do that in my spare time. Nobody sits around and watches grass grow, do they? You never see it grow. I've never once seen a grass grow. I've never once seen anything grow. In the midst of all your grass are weeds, too. Hate those things. You greatly struggle with Christianity. Maybe you struggle with the seeming nothingness of all of this. You can be here today and you feel like you're going absolutely nowhere. Be real. Your great struggle in life, is there anything really happening? Is there? Is there any life to this? And that frustration and that impatience has led Christians to try to make the kingdom of God come their way. That frustration has led to all sorts of things so that we can get a more powerful, tangible Christianity that people can see something's really happening. That's why worship is all over the map today. Everyone says, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. I want the stuff that makes me really feel like there is something really going on with this. This is why you have this problem. We've got to make it more, don't we? And the most encouraging thing Jesus is saying to us is, with the mustard seed one day, in his timing, there were shoots everywhere. That is the most encouraging parable for you to understand what you're a part of, how it works. Every week as a pastor, what am I doing? I'm scattering the seed. And The greatest discouragement pastors can face is the seemingly little to no progress and complaining that members do. This is why so many quit. And the Lord is saying, let me tell you how this works. Let me tell you how this works. Year after year after year after year, I scatter. I'm called as long as God keeps the pastor in it. Any pastor is called to do that. And you go through moments. Is this accomplishing anything? And then one day I look up and I see people responding to this word who hadn't said anything for years. You think, whoa, sprouts. It's the same for you in all of your work and in all of your service and all of life, in a sense. Work in the kingdom, it may seem utterly insignificant. It may seem that you've done absolutely nothing of real value. Think of the monotony every day of life. Think of every day rising, going to bed, rising, same routine, same challenges. We're going nowhere. And think of the encouragement of what Jesus is saying of how the kingdom of God goes. Think of this in context of child raising. You can feel like you're making no progress to train your children and to love, to have them know the Lord and love the Lord and all these efforts. Every week we bring them to church for a reason. We give that priority for a reason. All our prayers, nothing. 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 Oh, it's so frustrating. And then one day there pops a blade. When you never expected it. I was thinking the other night for cadets, you know, here's the cadet leaders and they're doing, leading our boys. Are they doing anything important? Well, they're helping as a part of the community and body of Christ to form the minds of our children. And to give them skills and help them. You may never see fruits from that immediately. But when a young person stands up and makes profession of faith years later, have you thought about all the times the word was given and planted and watered? It gives an entirely different perspective to what a person should be praying for, or Your friend who you just won't come to believe and has a hardened heart, has a matted heart, and you've talked to for years and years and years. Nothing, nothing. Or a son and a daughter who you don't know why they're just not responding. And then comes the blade. Patience, just Jesus, patience. Do you know how patient I am? We've been here. And it's 2016. One of the most moving stories is Monica. I think I've used it before, St. Augustine's mother. She was married to a pagan official named Patricius. He had a terrible temper, the father, lived a very immoral life. The husband was such a hard man on his wife, he would not even permit their children to be baptized. She worried incessantly at that time about Augustine and her husband. Augustine, of course, went to live with a woman, and they had an illegitimate son. And her constant prayers on her knees, night and day, night and day, night and day, for her husband and her son, had the effect after a time of her own husband converting. And then you have a whole history of St. Augustine being one of the greatest church fathers we know. How many moments do you feel like giving up? This parable says don't lose heart. It gives the same perspective about the church. We read in the past about revivals. We read about all these great moments of history, outpourings of the Spirit we read, and some great group to be doing something so great at the moment. And we look at envy over that. We look at envy. We say, oh man, that must be where it is. And the Lord says, it's trench work. It's trench work. Who likes being in the trench? If you were to ask me, when as a pastor in the course of a ministry, shoots begin to show in the course of his general ministry, I've come to the conclusion, don't even think about it till 5 years. I'm not saying it can't. What I'm saying is, we all want quick results right now, and the Lord is telling you how this goes. One day there's blades everywhere. One day there's fruit. It's slow in our perspective. There's nothing fast. I've seen movement after movement in Christianity that rose up quickly, and then it's gone. It's come and gone. In fact, that was one of the best advices one of your former ministers, Reverend Kamminga, gave me. Chris, you're going to see all sorts of things come and go. As quickly as they came, they're gone. I cannot believe how much that's proved true. And the Lord is telling you the kingdom doesn't work that way. And that should be the greatest drive not to lose heart. I think in Acts, with all the frustrations those apostles must have, they must have held so tightly to this little parable. When it's sown, I love the end of this. This is what we'll close with. When it's sown, it becomes, listen to this, greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest in its shade. Do you know where that's taken? That's taken from Daniel, the book of Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar's great kingdom. Remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? God knocked him down, the greatest king on earth. All these kingdoms of the earth have tried to show their power and glory. Notice we're all flexing right now. U.S. is flexing its muscle. We have little planes and bombs being going over us. We're all flexing to show power and might, pomp and glory. The U.S.'s heyday is probably over. And everyone's tried to exert their power and dominion. Not one of these kingdoms has ever stood. Not one. Look through history. The greatest of kingdoms have fallen. Rome fell. And Jesus said, when it's all seen, said and done, you will see my kingdom far surpass every kingdom in glory. It will be the lasting kingdom. The kingdom of God and of his Christ will last forever and ever. And no one can ever take that throne. No one can kick over that throne. It's a throne fixed in heaven. And when the time of harvest comes, when the day the grain ripens, when the mustard seed is fully grown as a tree, the kingdom will show itself in so much power and glory. The whole creation groans for the revealing of it, of the sons of God right now. You will forever be sheltered in that kingdom, never again to know what you're going through now. And here it is. So he carried me away into the spirit to a high mountain and showed me the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, I saw no temple, for the temple is the Lord God and the Almighty and the Lamb. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light, the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day. There will be no night there. They will bring it into it, the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter again. Oh, that's just wonderful. Nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those written in the Lamb's book of life. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. There will be no need for a light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And so he says, you're receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. You ever notice that through all history, everyone's tried to stamp out Christianity, and it's absolutely impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Keep your eyes on the goal. This is why Paul says, run with endurance. You don't lose heart this way in the frustrations. Give yourself to the ministry of the word, hearing it. Things are happening. Parents, you really love your children, keep them here. Put them under the word. Do you really care for them? Do that for them. The kingdom shows itself that way. Every time a young person professes faith, every time someone repents, if the angels in heaven are rejoicing, you see the kingdom in power. When we will hear on that day, when it's come in all of its fullness, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Until then, I close with the words of 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us all kinds of perspective on your kingdom today. And of all the kingdom confusion that goes on, if we would only hear your word and sit reverently under it and stop trying to bring the kingdom our way, oh Lord, we would see all these blades and fruits. And yet even then, nothing will stop that from occurring in your time and providence. May your kingdom be built until it's all in all, in all of its fullness, in all of its glory. Your kingdom come as you taught us to pray. Rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Keep your church strong. Add to it. And, oh Lord, destroy the forces and revolts against your word of the devil.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
This program was brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio. We encourage your prayerful and financial support. To give your tax-free donation, visit our website at www.agradio.org. That address is agradio.org. There you can learn more about us, who we are, and what we believe. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.